Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are younger members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints more evangelistic-minded? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at a book titled The Next Mormons, How Millennials Are Changing the LDS Church. It's a book that was written by Jana Reese, a popular Mormon blogger, and it is the result of a survey that was sent out to several hundred Latter-day Saints that was titled Next Mormons Survey, which she refers to in the book as simply NMS. The reason why we feel this is an important book to look over is because I think it helps us in understanding where our LDS acquaintances are coming from, and perhaps even some of the things that she says in this book will destroy some of the stereotypes that many of us may have regarding members of the LDS Church. Today, we're going to look at a section that has to do with spirituality and evangelism, and there were some interesting numbers in this section that she had, Eric, but I think they're could be a very easy explanation as to why some of those numbers are so high. So let's discuss what she says about spirituality and evangelism among members.
And she says that 84% pray at least once a week of the Mormon millennials, and 70% read the scriptures at least once a week. Those are very high numbers. Then she writes this, millennials also have the highest rate of literal belief in the scriptures of any generation. And when she says scriptures, of course, she's talking about the four standard works. 45% agree that the scriptures are the word of God and are to be taken word for word, almost a 10-point jump over the boomer and silent group. This is an interesting and somewhat surprising development, given the clear downward generational trend on this same question in research by Pew and Gallup. In those studies, the oldest respondents profess the most literal belief in the scriptures, and millennials the least, and that's found on page 152. She also says that the Gen Xers and the millennials are very evangelistic-minded, and says that 64% of the Mormon millennials share their faith daily or once a week, compared to 56% of Gen Xers and only 45% of the boomers and silent generations. And she says that the high number for Mormon millennials might be due to the fact that they served their missions in the last two decades. And she writes on page 154, so for them, sharing their faith may simply feel more natural because doing so all day, every day was a recent experience.
Where and how are these millennials sharing their faith? Because I can't recall any Latter-day Saint, really, when you think about it, coming up to me wanting to share their faith with me if they thought, for instance, I might need what they have and what they know. Usually, I find it's the evangelical that goes up to the Mormon and initiates the conversation. I can't even remember a time when a Mormon out of the blue just started talking to me about their faith.
But see, Bill, you're thinking as a boomer evangelical Christian who thinks of actually talking to somebody to have an evangelistic conversation marked down. But what is the Mormon millennial thinking? Does he think he has to go up to somebody, a stranger, for instance, and be able to share? Even according to Reese, that might not be the way they're thinking. They're not thinking the same way that you're thinking there. In fact, she theorizes it's possible that social media comes into play here. Millennials might consider reposting an inspirational meme to count, for example. So they go on the internet, they put something on their Facebook page that's inspirational, or even maybe go onto our Facebook page and write something and encounter what we have to say. And one of the comments, well, there's my evangelism for the day.
That could very well be. In fact, I think that's probably a very good explanation, because if they are thinking that because they post a statement made by a Mormon leader or a quotation, let's say, out of the Book of Mormon, and that counts as evangelism, then yes, I am approaching this as an older boomer not understanding how they're thinking, because even though I may do that on Facebook and in social media, I love to quote a lot of quotations from past Christian leaders and such that I think are inspirational. But I would never consider that to be evangelism. I just don't look at that as evangelism. But if that's what they are thinking, that could be why that number seems so high.
There was one statistic in her book that talked about church attendance, and it was very confusing for me because she said 8 out of 10 millennial Mormons say they, quote, attended religious services at least weekly, end quote. That's 8 out of 10, 80%. And yet, the survey discovered that only 47% reported that they attended Sunday Mormon church meetings in the last 30 days. Bill, how does that make any sense?
That doesn't seem to make any sense at all to me, unless, of course, they may be attending the local ward for another activity besides a regular church service, which, of course, would take place on a Sunday, because, as I understand, there are some classes sometimes held at the local ward. Don't think that could be the answer, though, because are there really that many things being held at the local ward that would interest most millennials? I wouldn't think so, but then maybe. But you're right, that does seem to be a contradiction in the numbers that she found. Now, when it comes to the Word of Wisdom or the Mormon Health Code, we're also seeing a change in the pattern from younger millennial Mormons and as opposed to the older boomer Mormons. And we think that this too could be, as Jenna Reese implies, could be something that might change the church down the road. There's always been these rumors circulating around that someday the Mormon church is going to eventually realize that coffee is a health food and change their Word of Wisdom in Section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants to reflect that. But it seems that a lot of the younger LDS members, and I would probably say even some of the older LDS members, when filling out a survey in privacy, such as this one that she's including in her book, tend to answer in a way that sounds like a lot of Latter-day Saints find some of the restrictions in the Word of Wisdom, Section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants, to be, well, probably the way I see it, pretty silly.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because 4 out of 10 recommend holders, temple recommend holders, have consumed at least one of the Word of Wisdom's banned substances in the past 6 months. 40%, not just of Latter-day Saints. These are people who hold a temple recommend. 4 out of 10 of them are not doing what they have told the bishop that they are doing by keeping the Word of Wisdom. And this is what Reese writes on page 159. This is especially noteworthy because Mormons are required to report to a church leader that they are faithful keepers of the Word of Wisdom to qualify for a temple recommend. Some people may be less than truthful in the recommend interview, or they are interpreting the Word of Wisdom with a certain amount of flexibility.
It's funny that she says exactly that, because I've often thought that a lot of the people going to their recommend interview probably fudge on some of the answers. And when you are sitting in front of your ecclesiastical leader, whether it's a bishop or a stake president or someone like that, if you really want the recommend, you're probably not going to be as truthful as you probably should be. And unfortunately, what you've just done is you violated Article 13 in the Articles of Faith, which tells the Latter-day Saint that they're supposed to be honest. I mean, seriously, Eric, can any Mormon answering the questions in the recommend interview be totally honest in this? I mean, when you look at the Word of Wisdom, it just doesn't talk about coffee or tea. It doesn't even mention those two substances by name. It merely says hot drinks. But then it talks about alcohol and tobacco. Now, I'm sure you would think that fewer Mormons would participate in drinking alcohol or using tobacco products. But yet she has a graph in her book, which seems to show me that there's quite a bit of Latter-day Saints that are imbibing in alcohol and even participating in tobacco products. That was quite surprising to me.
Listen to what she writes on page 159. Our survey data shows that about a third of current Mormons report consuming coffee at 35%. And if you look at the chart that you just referred to, this is figure 8-1 on page 160, 39% of millennial Mormons have had caffeinated coffee in the last 6 months, 40% of Gen X. So 4 out of 10 of all these Latter-day Saints are drinking caffeinated coffee. She has it overall an average of 35% because the boomers brought it down a little bit. They only have 24%. Then she says a quarter, 25% of current Mormons have drunk alcohol or non-herbal tea. 26% of LDS respondents reported that they have not wholly abstained from alcoholic beverages. Nearly 17% of Mormon respondents in the study smoked or chewed tobacco, which is slightly higher than another result of 13% among Mormons. And then she says about 1 in 10 consumed marijuana. Again, Bill, these are current Mormons. They might not be temple worthy Mormons, but these are current Mormons, and you have some pretty high statistics. And if you look at this chart, figure 8-1, you'll see that when it comes to the millennials, 27% of them have had caffeinated tea, 29% of them have had alcohol, tobacco, that is 23%. 1 out of 4 Mormon millennials in the last 6 months have smoked or chewed. And we've talked about vaping. Maybe that's something else that they're doing. But these are things that the church certainly says you're not supposed to do if you're going to be considered a faithful Latter-day Saint, and especially if you're going to want to go to the temple, which is a requirement if you hope to have eternal marriage and families forever.
Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think any of those people that are listed in those statistics that Jana Reese gives, do you think if they were going for their temple recommend interview, and let's say the one interviewing them was Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Mormon Church, do you think they would get their recommend?
Well, what he said in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2, page 16, is very clear. The answer would be no, because he said, salvation in a cup of tea, you cannot neglect little things. Oh, a cup of tea is such a little thing. It is so little. Surely it doesn't amount to much. Surely the Lord will forgive me if I drink a cup of tea. Yes, he will forgive you because he is going to forgive every man who repents. But my brethren, if you drink coffee or tea or take tobacco, are you letting a cup of tea or a little tobacco stand in the road and bar you from the celestial kingdom of God, where you might otherwise have received a fullness of glory?
And that's basically the position of the LDS Church right now. If you are drinking coffee or tea or using tobacco products, you will probably be denied a temple recommend. Now, when Joseph Fielding Smith says that the Lord will forgive you because he's going to forgive every man who repents, you've got to remember what that means according to what Joseph Fielding Smith believes. He'll forgive you if you stop doing it, because that's what repentance is. It means you stop doing it and never to do it again. Yes, then he will forgive you, but not until then.
Maybe Latter-day Saint millennials understand that because fewer than half of them have a valid recommend.
That could very well be. They get their recommend at a young age. Perhaps maybe they got it just before they got married, or they went on their mission. This was not an issue in their lives. But when they come back or later on in their married life, they start picking up this habit. And now they know that question's going to come up. So why even bother? And so they never end up getting that temple recommend renewed.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.